can believe it. And when Sandra started talking about shopping and going from shop to shop, I'm like, oh my heck, that's me. And I've got to tell you this story. I know that the end thing wasn't me, but I'm like, oh, she's talking about me. A few weeks ago, I went to Sydney to watch my grandson in his swimming carnival. And they have moved to Sydney and to North Sydney. And on the next day I was due to come home, I looked at the traffic going over the Harbour Bridge and through the tunnel. I'm like, nah, too many cars. It was just stopped. So I thought, I got to a point and I thought, I'll just go left because I'm not going right over the bridge. And I thought, I might get in the tunnel and get stuck. Anyway, I ended up at Chatswood Mall, just as you do. And I'd gone from shop to shop and I'd probably bought something in most shops. And then I thought, I've got to get going, it's lunchtime. So I've got all my bags on my arms and I get on the escalator and my phone rings. So I'm putting all my bags from both hands onto one hand. So I'm lopsided. I'm like, hi, Danielle. It was her that rang me. And all of a sudden, I'm off balance and I'm falling on the escalator and I feel backwards. And I've got, you can't see them now, but I've got these escalator marks down my leg. They were bleeding profusely, blood over the bottom of my jeans. And I said, I'll call you back. And I thought, listen, don't buy too much shopping and don't answer the phone when you're on the escalator. But, yes. Yeah, I just sort of politely went sideways. But anyway, that was my shopping experience. I thought, oh, Sandra knows, God's told her. Hey? I know. Anyway, all right. So we've been talking about Joseph and we're going to continue on with him today. Joseph went through lots of different situations and I believe that they were all part of a test that God allowed him to go through so that he could build his character because he was destined for great things. He was going to rule Egypt. And at 17, when he first had his first test, he was not ready. And so God allowed him to go through these things. So today we're talking about the perseverance test. Okay, so we're talking about persevering through situations. Now, last week he passed his test with flying colours. That was when the temptation came up to sleep with Potiphar's wife. When it became too great, he ran. Remember? He fled and ran from sin and temptation rather than hang around and let his emotions take over. He ran. And so he chose to honour God in that situation because he was the steward of the master's house, of Potiphar's house, and he chose to do the right thing. Remember, Joseph had been faithful all his life in every test. He'd been faithful in the little things. And it's so important that we remember that, to be faithful in the very little. Even when no one else can see, you know and God knows. So be faithful in the small. And he was. And so God gave him greater responsibility. So because Joseph had made the right decision to walk in obedience and run away from that situation, you would expect that he would pass the test, which he did, and with flying colours, and that God would bless him. But guess what happened? Let's have a look. In Genesis 39, we're going to read from 11. But it happened about this time, just going back to scriptures for last week, when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him, that's Potiphar's wife, caught him by his garment saying, lie with me, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand as he fled and ran outside. When she saw that he was holding his cloak and had fled, she called out to the servants, and soon all the men came running. Look, she said, my husband brought me this slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me. She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home, and then she told him her story. That Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me," she said. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." Potiphar was furious when he heard that his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison, where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. He did the right thing. He fled from temptation. Now he's lied about, falsely accused, and thrown into prison. Not the results that we would expect when we choose to do the right thing. But unfortunately, this picture simply reflects what can happen in a fallen world in which we live. Make no mistake about it, we must always obey God if we want to walk in his blessings. And obedience to God is no guarantee that bad things will never happen to us. Just like Joseph, we must choose to do the right thing if we want to have the presence of God in our lives. And sometimes, just like Joseph, we will do the right thing and get the wrong results. So what do we do when this happens? How do we react to these things? I mean, have you ever been accused of doing something that you didn't do? I'm sure we all have. Have you had lies spoken about you? Probably we all have. And rumours? They're not nice, are they? And if you haven't been through this, then it probably will happen. So these lessons from Joseph are great examples of how his examples will help us to get through life's tests. Joseph went through a long and painful period, and it might have looked like there was no reward for him for doing the right thing. But in that time, he learnt perseverance. Remember, God had a big destiny in mind for Joseph, and a big destiny must be accompanied or supported by big character. Joseph was going to need the character trait of patience and perseverance to get through this one. And it was during this test that God gave Joseph the grace, thanks John, to get through this time. You see, do you believe that God has already given you everything you're going to need for your battles? He has. It's already in you. Jesus has already died for everything, but he's given you everything you need to fight these battles, to get through them, to persevere. Does anyone remember, I remember this as a kid, the story of the two houses in the Bible that says that the wise man built his house upon the rock, and it says, and the rains came tumbling down and the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood firm. I remember the song. And then it says, and the foolish man, I mean, the rock represents Jesus, building a house, building our foundations of life on him. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Well, that represents the world. And the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand went crash. You see, both houses storms came to. Storms will come to people in the world and storms will come to Christians. So what will you allow God to do the work in you when the storms come to your life? Well, the prison that Joseph was thrown into would probably have been more like a dungeon, a horrible, dark, terrible place. And at that time in Egypt, the penalty for rape was death. And so I wonder whether Potiphar actually suspected his wife was lying, and he knew Joseph's character, and maybe he put in a good word for him to spare his life. Don't know. It doesn't say that. But the penalty was death. And so God, in his grace, spared death because he had a plan for Joseph. Now, the prison was under Potiphar's authority, and since he was captain of the guard, he gave the jail keeper, whatever, a good word about Joseph. And because it tells us in time that Joseph was promoted, even in prison. And quite amazing, really, because he knew he was innocent, and although he was suffering unjustly, he continued to do the right thing. He continued to work as to working unto the Lord. And it tells us this scripture in Colossians. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than people. And I believe Joseph was a great example. When he had nothing really to sing home about, he worked willingly, and he still was a good steward of that. In the next section in Genesis, we're going to read from verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. God was with him. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. And before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. You see, these are principles. They're godly principles that we should practice every day. When you don't like your job or the people that you work with, work as if working for the Lord. When you think you're worth more money, work as if working for the Lord and let him promote you. And you know, Joseph didn't allow the injustice of his situation to stop the work of God in his life. No matter how difficult or how unfair his circumstances seemed to be, Joseph allowed God to continue to use him. Can we say that? It's so important we learn from this today. To learn that sometimes unfair circumstances will happen to us. But God has the final outcome, okay? Because God always brings good out of our situations if we just hang in long enough. Quite a few years ago, in our business, we employed a young girl. And after a period of time, I could see something was not going well with her. Unbeknownst to me, she was on drugs and doing ice in our bathrooms at work, but I didn't know that. And things just weren't going well. So I took her aside, had a chat with her, told her, you know, she needed to pick a game up type thing, only to find out the next day that she'd stolen the hard drive out of the computer that she was working at her station. And I thought, this isn't good. And then the next day, I get a phone call from WorkCover to say that she was taking us to court for harassment, micromanagement, and bullying. And, you know, all those things come against you when you know in your heart you're not like that at all. It was pretty awful. And it got that bad that, I ended up having to sack her, which technically you can't sack someone on workers' comp, but she'd stolen. And that was enough reason I had to sack her. But she didn't like that. And so I ended up in the unfair dismissal court and was about to go to court for bullying. WorkCover came down. They had to interview some of our employees. God just said to me, just don't even worry about it. Just don't worry about it. The hard thing was her and her partner decided they'd come to church. And so while I'm up here and doing what I did, she's up the back smiling at me. And it was a really hard time because I knew what was going on underneath all that and no one else did. They were like, oh, she's trying to make up, you know, all this. But I knew there was an evil side to all this. And so 6 months later, I got a phone call. I remember exactly where I was, driving from Canberra to Maroora at Bungendore. I pulled over when WorkCover rang and said, you are fully cleared. You are fully cleared. They'd investigated her. She had a record. Different things went on. And so, you know, God had that. He just said to me, don't worry about it. Just get on with it. And so I did. But it was a hard time. And none of us like those sort of trials. But if we look at the scriptures, we will see that some interesting things are said about going through a trial. Thank you, Janine. So let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 3-5. We can rejoice, there's that word, rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Count it all joy, rejoice. It's difficult. It's difficult. Now, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll jump ahead of myself. There is no other way that you can get perseverance and patience. It's only by the trials that we go through that it is produced in our life. So when trials come, maybe our prayer should be, Lord, I thank you that you're going to lead and guide me through this situation. You know the end, and I'm going to trust in you. So, Lord, I thank you that you've got the answers. And, Father, if there's anything in me that you need to work on, I give you permission, and I know that you will help me through. You know, the last time I had a big trial, I remember saying, okay, God, how are we going to do this one? Because I know I've got a partner with God. And a lot of the time he'd say, you just take care. I've got this, you know. And I know with that situation I just told you about, that girl, he told me to always be honest because I wanted to go in there defending myself and saying that, you know, all this. But I didn't need to. They did interview me and I think they could see my character against when they interviewed her. So I just had to be myself. I just had to be honest and wait patiently. And just God just said, just go out and do what you do. Go and work in the church. Go and love people. Go and do all that. Take your hands off. I've got this. And so even though you have your moments, if we will really trust God in it, he does bring us through. Because patience only comes through the testing of our faith. And that's why we're supposed to count it all joy or rejoice in them. Because it grows us and we become better people. I'm a much better person than I was from going through all those things I've been through in life. Now, there's a bit of a difference between patience and perseverance, okay? They're similar because they both involve waiting. Patience is waiting with contentment. So while we wait, we have to be content with where we are and who we are. The Bible says the testing of our faith is what works patience. So let's have a look at that one, just to confirm. James 1, 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy, there's the joy again, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Sorry, but tests are good for us. But perseverance is about fighting the battle while you're waiting with patience. How the heck do you do that? Probably like Janine said, on our knees. On our knees. And not just, God, will you fix this? It's like, God, I thank you that you're going to get me through this. I thank you that I'm going to glorify you as I go through. Not just always asking, but thanking, because he's already done the work. It's already done. The battle's already won. So I have take that line now. I just thank him in advance. And I've seen his hand. I've seen these things work. You see, you're not going to get perseverance by waiting in a queue at the bank or even in a day or even in a week. It's going to take a long, difficult trial. It takes more than patience to endure. It takes perseverance and determination. That might all sound pretty depressing, but it's not, because it grows our character and it changes us for the better if we will allow it to. I know I've been there and I know who I am now, and I can look back and go, well, I didn't like that, but I can rejoice in it all now because I also can help other people. I'm a more gracious person. I have more compassion for people because you just don't always know what someone's going through. But God is giving me these things in my character to help others because of what I went through. And you are the same. You've all been through things too. And the biggest thing that I learned by going through things is that God never left me. Not for one second. And he shows us what to do in hard times. And we learn to trust him because he loves us so much and has a plan for us. And he always has the end result in mind. So So when you have a trial that you're going through and it seems to go on forever and ever, when months turn into years, you still have to stand in faith. That's the test of perseverance. And that's where many people give up. They give up and they never make it. When the enemy attacks you with thoughts of doubt, which he will, and hopelessness, that's the test of perseverance. And you must fight the good fight of faith. Joseph's first trial lasted 13 long years. 13 years he was locked up in this dungeon of a prison, and God never forgot him. And he kept on believing what God had told him was true. Remember, way back in the first bit, he'd had dreams of the future. And that's the thing. That's what I hung on to once. God gave me a vision of the future. And so when trials came, I'm like, well, this is just a test because I'm going here. God's given me a promise and a vision, and I'm still getting there. He had to have patience while the trial went on year after year. He had to have more than that. He had to have perseverance. It sounds like a long time, but remember, Abraham had to wait 25 years for that son that God promised. And Moses had to wait 40 years in the wilderness before he stepped into his destiny. So we're amongst good people. But Joseph kept his heart right before God. And he could have gotten very bitter and angry at his brothers. And let's face it, he certainly could have got angry at Potiphar's wife. He was the reason. She was the reason that he was in there. He could have even got angry with God. But I can tell you that does not work. God did not do it. God does not bring bad things to us. He allows them to happen, and through them he grows us. Okay? So don't get angry with God. He didn't do it. He's a loving God and he's a good God. In Romans, I'm going to read that Roman scripture again, but I'm reading this one from the New King James Version. Okay, and it says, and not only that, but also glory in tribulations. There's the glory, the rejoice thing. Knowing that tribulation and tribulations are just trials, produce perseverance. There's the perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's the proof again that character is produced by perseverance. You know, obedience is a character issue. And character can only be learned. It can't be imparted. And we aren't born with it. We have to develop it. And Joseph was not only a man with God's blessing and favour upon his life, he'd been given an amazing gift of leadership. We know that because every story that we go through with Joseph, he was promoted because he was faithful in the little. He probably wasn't even looking for it, but it became part of his character to be faithful. I remember, when you have a special gift, it's really easy to lean on the gift that God's given you rather than on God. And I think that's why Joseph had a lot of time in there, maybe, because he did have gifts. He had natural abilities, and God needed to work deeply in him. I can remember a long time ago when there was four young people and we were having a meeting to decide who was going to be their youth leader. And it wasn't going to be me, because there's no way in the world I wanted to do it, and I'd already made my mind up. And as I sat there with these four young people, I began to weep. And God said, you have to run youth. And I'm like, God, I don't know how to run youth. And he said, I know. That's why I chose you. Because you don't know and you're going to lean on me. And it's the same as pastoring the church. What the heck did I know? I just knew how to love God and to love people. And I knew how to stand. But you know what? God doesn't always call leaders and equipped people. He equips those who he calls. And so I got over myself because I thought, I haven't been to Bible college, I haven't done this. But he chose me and he's equipping me to do the work that he wants me to do. And so with Joseph, apart from that great gift of leadership that was on his life, he also gave him a gift to interpret dreams. Okay? Interpreting dreams. And we're going to have a quick look at that. Everywhere Joseph went, he got a position of authority, whether as a slave, which he was for many years, still is at the moment. But it was the favour of God that ultimately made Joseph the ruler over Egypt, and he had given him this natural ability. Now, the next part of the story, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to read it from the word. So while he's in prison, this is after 11 years, a couple more fellas got thrown in there, and they were the chief butler in the palace and the chief baker. They ticked off Potiphar and offended him, and so Potiphar threw him in jail for a while. Okay? Now, one night, these men both had a dream. Okay? Different dreams, but the meanings were the same. And the next morning, Joseph came along, because he was in charge of them, and he said, "What are you guys looking so sad for? What's wrong?" And they both said, "Oh, we've had these dreams and we don't know what they mean." And so Joseph interpreted both their dreams, which were about being restored in 3 days back to the palace. And that's exactly what happened. They were released, but just before they went, Joseph said, "Oh, look, when you get back there, can you remember me to Potiphar? I've been in here. I haven't done anything wrong. Please just remember me to him." But he forgot. The butler forgot. And Joseph spent 2 more years in prison. Maybe God hadn't finished with the work he needed to do in Joseph, because he didn't want Joseph to feel like he'd got his way out. He wanted it to be God and God only that got him out. So at the end of another 2 years, Pharaoh now has this dream. He has a couple of dreams, and they also troubled him. And Potiphar called in all the magicians in Egypt, all the wise men, but none of them could tell them what these dreams meant. And then the butler's here and he goes, "Oh, hang on a minute. There was this Hebrew guy in prison and he interpreted my dream and it came true." And immediately Pharaoh remembered. He remembered Joseph and sent for him immediately. And of course, Joseph gets to Pharaoh and says, "Well, I can't tell you what those dreams mean, only if God tells me." And so God did. God showed Joseph what these dreams meant, and he told them to Potiphar. And it was all about the future. It was all about there was going to be 7 good years, and in that time they had to harvest everything and keep food and all those things, and then there was going to be 7 terrible years of famine. And he was preparing them. He was telling Joseph this, and then as Joseph tells Potiphar, Potiphar says, "Wow, you truly are a man of God. I'm going to make you leader over all Egypt." So finally, the plan that God had for Joseph is now beginning to come forward. And it's not the end of his bad times, but we get to them next week, I think. Okay. So in order for Joseph to rule as God's chosen man, he had to learn to lean totally on God. Totally on God, not on his own wisdom and not on his own ability. And I believe that God had been working on Joseph's deep character issues to make sure of that. You see, self-confidence, self-reliance, and self-sufficiency all had to be dealt with before Joseph could step into his destiny. And in the midst of that deep trial, Joseph learned that his own abilities were not enough to get the job done. And really, character is simply doing the right thing in the wrong situation. And as that is developed, something begins to happen. We begin to have hope. You see, character, as we read a minute ago, character produces hope. Hope in Jesus. That's amazing. You see, when you respond the right way to a wrong situation, something happens to your perspective. You start to see that there's a bigger picture here, and you start to see what God has in mind for your life. So if you're going through things that have been going on for years, and I know there are people that have, you have to start to see it from God's perspective and have hope. Never lose hope. And suddenly, if you do that, God will look much bigger than the trial or the problem that you've got. And that's how character works to produce hope. Hope sees things from God's perspective, no matter how bad things look. And Joseph obviously didn't allow his hope to turn to disappointment. His trial, as I said, lasted 13 years. And after 11, and expecting the butler would put in the good word, he probably thought, any day now, any day, my freedom's coming. But days turned into weeks and eventually into 2 years. He had the perfect opportunity to be disappointed, but he kept his hope in God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, I'm nearly there, it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Okay, so deferred hope that has turned into disappointment. That's what deferred hope is, disappointment. And when you're going through a long, difficult trial, you must not allow that to happen. You must keep trusting in God and hoping in Him. You must persevere and allow Him to show you His perspective. Because if you allow your hope to turn into disappointment, it will be deferred. And God says if you allow your hope to be deferred, you'll end up with a sick heart. Hope is for now, not just for the future. Hope is for the present. No matter what trial you might be going through right now, even if you feel like you're in a dungeon, hope says God is there right with you. Hope is believing that God is working everything for good right now. Hope is believing that God loves us and that He's going to take care of us now. Hope is believing that we're in the center of God's will so we can have peace and joy right now. Hope is believing that God is with us no matter what we're going through. That's biblical hope. That is not deferred hope. And character produces that kind of hope. So here's the point of all this. Joseph's brothers tried to stop his destiny. Potiphar's wife tried to stop his destiny. Then the butler messed up and forgot, which could have stopped Joseph's destiny. All these people did things which seemed certain to stop God's plan for Joseph and to prevent him from entering his destiny. But in spite of all those people, Joseph kept doing the right thing. And because he kept doing the right thing, he did not miss God's divine appointment. There's only one person who can stop your destiny. There's only one person who can hinder you from reaching your destiny. There is only one person who can delay your destiny. Anyone want to take a guess? It's you. It's me. It's not even the devil. It's you. You're the only one who can mess up God's plan for your destiny. But I also know that if you choose to do what is right, there is nothing that anyone else can say or do that will interfere with the plans that God has for you. No one can stop your destiny in God except you. And no one could stop Joseph's God-given destiny. Without a doubt, Joseph is a wonderful example for us of how we can persevere and come through trials and tribulations with character and with hope. And even if other people don't keep their word or forget, God never will. God will always keep His word and He will always remember you. So when you're going through a long, difficult trial, allow that trial to produce perseverance in you. Keep fighting the good fight of faith as you wait with contentment of God's deliverance. And as you allow God to develop your character in your life, you will start to do the right thing. No matter how wrong your situation is, you will start to see things from His perspective. And His perspective will cause you always to have hope. And hope will not disappoint you. If you carry, it will carry you into a divine appointment with your destiny. Amen.